Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. Today, as we begin our praise and worship, I'm going to start us off in this way. In today's praise and worship segment, we're going to be singing about a particular position of our God, which is that He is the King and Lord of the universe. He's the King. And I think for some of us here that we don't usually take that with its full weight. We don't usually take the position of God as King with as much intensity and reverence as we should. And that's understandable, because in today's day and age, we have prime ministers, we have presidents, you know, we have governors, but we don't have kings to rule over us. And so today, as we begin our worship, as we go into worship, I'm going to invite you to do something for us, to do something for yourself, really. Can you imagine for yourself what you would do if you were to stand before a king? How would you stand if you were to stand before a king? How would you react when you were to stand before a king? How would you sing to him if you were to stand before a king? And how would you listen if you were to stand before a king? And would any of that be different if it was the King of Kings, the King of the universe that you're standing before? And so today, as we begin our worship, I'm going to read a passage that highlights the kingship of our Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand and hear the word of the Lord. This passage is from Jeremiah chapter 10. And it says, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth, and He makes lightning for the rain, and He brings forth the wind from His storehouses. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King." Let us enter into the presence of our King and worship Him with awe and reverence.
Death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful name. For the glory, Lord, is yours. God forever and the glory, Lord, is yours. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful. everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful, King above kings. All the universe will sing. Everlasting God, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. And the shout of the earth will be your praise. God forever and the light unto all will be your wonderful name. For the glory, Lord, is yours. God forever, all the glory, Lord, is yours.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you. Hallelujah. Holy God.
You praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. No one could stand in your presence. If you should count the sins we've done, we would perish in a moment. If we confess the sins we've done, you're faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. By faith we are forgiven. As far as the ends of the world, so far has our sins been as high as the heavens above, so great is your love towards us. How great is your love towards us. If we confess the sins we've done, you're faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. By faith we are forgiven. As far as the ends of the world, so far has our sins been removed. As high as the heavens above, so great is your love towards us. How great is your love towards us. Jesus died for me, I have died with him. Sin is defeated, forever I am free. When Jesus rose to life, I have come alive. My life is not my own, but I am God's alone. When Jesus died for me, I have died with him. Sin is defeated, forever I am free. When Jesus rose to life, I have come alive. My life is not my own, but I am God's alone. When Jesus died for me, I have died with him. Sin is defeated, forever I am free. When Jesus rose to life, I have come alive. My life is not my own. as far as the ends of the world. So far has our sins been removed, as high as the heavens above. So great is your love towards us. How great is your love towards us. Holy, holy, holy are you, God. You are the Almighty King enthroned above, worthy of all our praises. And if you were to measure our works, our deeds, and if it was by us only, no one can stand before you. No one can stand before you, because we are all sinners. And God, we ask that you forgive our sins. You forgive our stubbornness. You forgive our hard-heartedness. God, today we have come to claim your promise. The promise that you are faithful and just to forgive us, to those who come before you and confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. You're faithful and just to forgive. We thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy through Jesus Christ. And God, we proclaim that we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you to search us, search within us, search for those dark areas and reveal to us our sins. Reveal to us the places where we need you to guide us and to lead us in the light. Lead us in the way of the everlasting. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
We're in the second sermon of this series called The Drought. And in this sermon series, we're going through the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet called by God to speak to the nation of Judah during its last years. A bit of background before we begin today's passage. You know, during these times, the king of a nation is often the spiritual tone setter of the nation. He has massive influence over the nation's spiritual direction. And in Judah's case, this was very, very important, because Judah was God's chosen nation, and the people of Judah were God's chosen people. And the kings of Judah was usually categorized into two very, very rough categories: those who did evil in the sight of the Lord, and those who were faithful. Those who were evil, and those who were faithful. And when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, it was King Josiah that was in reign. And King Josiah was a faithful king. But before King Josiah was the king, there was a king called Manasseh. Now Manasseh did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And we read in 2 Kings that Manasseh, he made altars to Baal, which was a secular idol at that time. He made statues to goddesses, and he worshipped the stars and the suns and the moons. And he even did all these things inside the temple of the Lord. He made those altars inside the temple of the Lord. And he sacrificed children to pagan gods, and he even practiced, you know, sorcery and magic. So you can imagine how much of a mess Judah was in when Manasseh was king. You know, basically the people of Judah, like, they weren't even following God anymore. They were pagans. They did whatever the king did, and they worshipped all the idols that you can't imagine. And now when Manasseh passed away, when King Josiah took over, he was a good king. So what he tried to do and what he did successfully was that he underwent a spiritual reformation for the nation. You know, he removed these altars, reestablished the laws and worship of God. He killed the false prophets and the sorcerers, and he recommitted the nation to a covenant with God, which is really to mean that God is Judah's only God, and the nation of Judah was God's people. And this was approximately the time when Jeremiah became a prophet, supposedly during a time of reformation and revival. And God called Jeremiah to preach judgment to the nation of Judah during a time of revival. That's a little bit strange, because what happens after King Josiah passed away? None of his successors were faithful. None of them were faithful. They all followed other idols. They worshiped pagan gods. They did their own thing. They just made up their own rules. And it's during this semi-transition that we find today's passage. We read of one of Jeremiah's first message to the nation of Judah. And this is in chapter 7. Again, the context is that the nation is under this transition from faithfulness to spiritual rebellion and evilness. And Jeremiah received the word of the Lord to bring judgment and mourning to the nation of Judah. And to be honest, when I read this, this is a difficult message to deliver. Like, if I was Jeremiah, I would be afraid. This is very difficult to say. Because in this sermon of Jeremiah's, God paints a picture of what judgment is going to look like. And is a description of what will happen to the nation of Judah. And it opens up like this in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord." And you can imagine, this is a little bit strange. The word is given to the people that is entering into the gates to worship the Lord. Can you imagine how weird this is? Like, can you imagine, as people are entering into worship, they're entering into the temple, they're dropping off their kids, they're putting on the nice clothes, and they're buying sacrifices and sheep and goats, they're ready to sing, and then at the entrance, there's this pastor preaching outside temple. And preaching what? Preaching judgment. This is very, very weird. And this is what he says. He says, "Thus says the Lord, I will do to the house that is called by my name," which is a temple, "I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim." If you imagine yourself as a participant to this worship, to the temple to worship, walking in the temple and you hear this guy saying, "I'm going to do to this place as I did to Shiloh," you're going to go, "What? What did you say that God was going to do to us? The same as Shiloh." And you remember Shiloh. What is Shiloh? Shiloh was a sanctuary in the north. Shiloh was a sanctuary in the north, and you heard that it was overran by the Philistines. Hey, think about, what is this guy talking about? "I'm going to worship. This is the temple of God. You can't just say this to the temple of God. God is going to cast us out of his sight. That's not possible. That's not possible. What did we do wrong?" And you just hear this prophet, he kept going. He says, "Thus says the Lord, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, upon man and beast, upon the trees of the field and the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched." This anger and wrath from the Lord is going to be poured out onto this place, and it will burn and not be quenched. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with this guy? This guy's crazy, he's out of his mind. Does he not know that we are God's chosen nation? God loves us, God delights in his people. Why would God be angry with us? Somebody shut this guy up already. You know, and as you're listening, people are starting to crowd around this guy called Jeremiah, and people are getting bored of it. They're very frustrated and angry at what he's saying to them, because he's saying to them this: "Cut off your hair and cast it away. Raise a lamentation on the bare heights. For the Lord has rejected you. He has forsaken you. You are a generation of his wrath." And you look to like, why not? Are you hearing what this guy is saying? He said, "We're a generation of God's wrath." What is he saying? We're coming to worship God. What is wrong with you, Jeremiah? Do you know we just celebrated the Passover? Do you know what Passover is? Passover is when God's judgment passes over us. And it goes to the Egyptians, to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians. God doesn't punish us. God is not angry with us. Somebody go get the high priest and listen to what this guy is saying. Somebody go get the high priest. He has to know this. And this guy just continued with his sermon. And this Jeremiah guy, he says, "Behold, the days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place called Topheth will no longer be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth, because there's no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away. And I will silence in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem the voice of the mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall become a waste. And as you hear that, there are chills down your spine. You know, it's like a summer afternoon, but you're shivering because you know where Topheth is. You know where that valley is, that big valley. And you imagine this valley just filled with dead people. And the birds are coming to eat them. And animals are coming to eat the corpse. And you are terrified because you have been there before. And you know what you've done in that valley. But very quickly, you became angry. And you say, that's not what God's going to do. How dare you say this to us? You are disrespecting the nation of Judah. You're profaning the name of the Lord. How dare you say this at the entrance of the Lord's presence? And some people are so fed up and they just left because they're saying, don't just ignore him. This guy's drunk. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's saying. But the worst part is he's not done. He's not done. He says, at that time, declares the Lord, the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of its officials, the bones of your prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be brought out of their tombs, and they shall be spread before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, and they shall not be gathered or buried, and they shall be as dung on the surface on the ground. Death shall be preferred to life by all the remnants that remains of this evil family in all the places where I've driven them, declares the Lord of hosts. And you have to wonder, what is going on? What is going on? We're just coming into worship. And now even like the people around you, they're so angry. They're enraged at this prophet. And he says, I'm going to kill you if you don't shut up. And the priest is here. Now they're discussing whether they can get rid of him. People are boiling. They're like crowding around him. But nobody dared to make a move. Because what if what he said is right? What if what he said is right? What if he is really a prophet? And you quickly dismiss that thought and you just ignore this guy. You're not going to do anything to him. What if he's a prophet? And so you continue your worship. You go into the temple and you continue your worship. You continue to do the sacraments, the rituals. And then you faintly hear this prophet outside, this preacher outside, just preaching judgment and yelling judgment. And to be honest, if you are a citizen of Judah during that time, if you're a citizen of Judah, hearing all these words outside the temple, you would surely ask a question. You ask this question, what did we do wrong? What did God's people do? Why is God so angry at us? You know, I thought we were God's chosen nation. I thought he loved us. You know, what I've been taught from a young age was God is merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping the love for thousands and thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. What did we do to make God so angry? Maybe God, you should calm down and chill out a little bit. What did we do? And yes, I know, if you have to trace back to Manasseh, Manasseh was a horrible king. But it was him. We had no choice. He was the king. He led us to worship the other gods. He made a bunch of altars, even some in God's temple. We know that. But I didn't want to. It's him. He made us to do that. He's the king. I can't do anything if he tells us to do that. But, you know, God, we fixed a lot of those stuff. We fixed it. We fixed them under Josiah. You know, we're not that bad anymore. We celebrated Passover. We renewed our confidence. We took out a lot of these idols and the altars and the statues. We pledged ourselves to you. God, we're not that bad. Why are you so angry at us? And even now, you know, Josiah's passed away for a long time, but even now we're still doing these things. We're still attending the temple for worship. We're hosting the Passover, the festivals. We're doing the singings and the rituals and the sacrifices and the offerings. We read the Bible. I do offering. We listen to sermon. We still pray and do all these good things. We did what God told us to do. Why are you so angry? And as a citizen of Judah and a worshiper in the temple, you're still thinking about these things. And as you come back out of the temple, you're just thinking, okay, I need to go get some grocery for home. And I got to go home to make food for my kids. And once you step out to the temple, you realize this guy, Jeremiah, is still there. He's repeating his sermon over and over. This crazy prophet is still there. And at that point, people aren't even listening to him anymore. People are just ignoring him. And you think to yourself, I don't understand. I don't understand why God is so angry at us. This guy must be a fake. This guy must be a false prophet. And then you hear Jeremiah say this. He says, do you not see what you are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves to their own shame? And you hear this, you're like, what? God, don't be so narrow-minded. Don't be so demanding and so controlling. This is the culture. Everybody does that around here. You know, everybody makes cakes and just throw it onto the street, and the wine that they have left over, just throw it on the street. This is the culture. Everybody does that here. God, you have to understand. You have to understand you're still my number one God. You're still at the top priority, but there's still a lot of other things that is very important. So there are these gods I heard that do these kind of things. You know, if I do this, they will give me financial security. And God, you know, I just want some security. That's what you want for me, right? And some of them say, you know, if you do this cake to this God, and they would bless my relationship. And God, I just want to be happy, and that's what you want is for me as well. God, you have to understand, at this hierarchy, you're at the top. You're at the top. You're the number one God. And get this, don't be so jealous. I gave them cakes, but I just got you a sheep. I brought you a sheep into the temple to worship. They only get cakes. And then you hear this man, this Jeremiah guy, and he talked about Topheth again. Topheth, the valley of slaughter, and you just shiver a little bit. And he says, they have built, you guys have built high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn your sons and your daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. And you swallow your breath, and you still try to be as correct as you can be and just argue your way through. He says, okay, God, I know that's a little bit far, but those are kids. Nobody cares about kids around here. And God, I was out of option because I wanted my own children. I have been praying for you for so many times. I've given you the offering, the rituals, and I've done all that stuff. But God, you didn't listen to me. So I was out of option. So what I thought I would do is I would try this thing that people say it works. So I just got a kid. I just bought a kid. But God, it's only a kid. At the end of the day, you want to bless us. You said you want us to multiply and fill the earth. And that's what I'm doing. I will be happy, and I'm just fulfilling your command. Why are you so angry at that? Okay. God, maybe you're angry because I've done some of these things. And I admit, I'm not the best. I'm not the best believer. Like, if you put me on a grade scale, like, I'm not like an A++. I'm not 100%. But I'm not that bad. I still follow, like, out of your 600-something commandments, I still follow most of them. Most of them, you know, everybody sins, everybody falls sometimes, and that's our nature, that's our state. I can't help it, but God, I always return to you, and you are compassionate, right? You're merciful, you're slow to anger. Whoever believes in you is going to be saved. I prayed. I prayed that you will forgive me. I prayed like David did. I prayed that you forgive me. Okay, I may not be 100%, but I think I give myself an 80. We offer you sacrifices and rituals. What more do you want? We come to the temple. And Jeremiah says this. He says, do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. And this is the temple of the Lord. Don't trust in these deceptive words, you people. Behold, you trust in these deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery? Will you swear falsely? Will you make offerings to Baal and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Okay. Okay, God, that's going too far. Don't call us a den of robbers. What else do you want us to do? I go to church, I do offering, I do rituals, I do I go to small group, I sing, I do everything. I do all the things you've told me to do. I prayed, I know I've messed up, but I prayed. What else do you want me to do? I've done most of these. I'm not that bad of a believer. I've done these things. And Jeremiah said, in the day that I brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave to them. Obey my voice, and I'll be your Lord, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. God, you're not getting this. Stop being so close-minded, will you? Stop being so traditional. Everybody has their own way of living out their faith. Faith is very subjective, very personal. He does what he wants to do. I do what I want to do. I can choose what I want. And God, you just want us to be happy. So I'm happy now. You get your sacrifices. You get your rituals. You get your ceremonies. I get what I want. I will go on to live my life. Don't mind my life. And as you continue to dialogue with yourself out of frustration and anger, and you just hear Jeremiah's voice in the back, and he says, thus says the Lord, if you don't listen to me to walk in the way, walk in the law that I have set to you, listen to my words, listen to the servants, the prophets I have sent to you, and yada, 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 and then you just left. And his voice just fades out in the background. And you think about, what should I get for dinner? And then you continue your day as if nothing happened. Church, why do you think God is so angry? Why do you think God is so angry? Do you know why God is so angry? Do you know why God said there's all this judgment that's going to come to the nation of Judah? Why is God so angry? Do you know why? Yes, there is sin. Sin is the factor. You know, they are sacrificing children, and they're practicing idolatry, worshiping other gods, they're making altars, and they're stealing, there's murdering, there's adultery. But that's not it. What's worse is that when the people sin, they come back to the temple to worship, they make a prayer, they go through a ritual, they do the minimum requirement, and they go out and they sin again. That's the double life that they're living. And this is ridiculous. Can you imagine this? Like, before you watch this video this morning, you would have maybe searched that thing online, or maybe did this thing, and you sin, and then you go watch this video, and then you come back out and you do it again. This is ridiculous. Like, but that is not it. What's worse is that they think it's okay. Like, they're doing this, like, they're not doing this accidentally. They're not doing this unconsciously. They're doing this consciously, as if it's the way to live. They're saying, we are saved, we are delivered, there's a temple, we're saved, I make a prayer, I'm forgiven. And they genuinely think living the double life is okay. And just what they have done, and this is somewhat horrifying, what they have done is they have essentially, they believe in a true God, but created a false religion under his name. They believe in a true God, but they have created this false religion under his name, and this is creepy. This is ridiculous. This is horrifying that you can do this. And when God confronts them, they don't listen. God told Jeremiah, God says, you're going to speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. They don't listen. The worst is they think they're right. They have created this false religion under the name of the true God, and now it's following this false religion under the name of the true God, and they have so bought into, they so believe in this false religion that they're ignoring what the true God says. Think about it. How ridiculous this is that you believe in a true God and you have created a false religion for him. And that's why God is so angry with them. Not only do they sin and bring it back to the temple, not only do they sin and after the temple they keep on sinning when they believe in God, not only do they think that's okay, and they're so firm with their belief that they have essentially created idolatry under the name of God, and that's why God is so angry with them. They believe in the true God but follow a false religion under his name. They believe in a true God while following this false religion under his name. And church, when you hear this, this is ridiculous. And that's why God is calling out the people of Judah. God is calling them out as a warning. God is giving them a chance to repent and amend their ways and change. And in the same way, God is calling us to change. God is revealing to us our false beliefs and our false religions. Because do you realize that is a possibility in today's day and age? It's definitely a possibility that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the one true God. We know who he is, and he is my Lord, but we practice a false religion. We have created out of our own comfort, created this false religion, this false set of rules, while following the true God. Think for yourself. Have we been believing in a true God but practicing a false religion? Have we been deciding for ourselves how we should follow God? Have we been deciding for ourselves how we should follow God? Have we been defining in our faith, you know, what is okay, what is not okay? I make the call. Have we been doing that? Have we been twisting his words or ignoring his words so that we can follow this faith comfortably and believe in God comfortably? Maybe we have been saying things to ourselves like this. Like maybe we've been saying, you know, I can indulge in this sin as long as I pray. God forgives me. No matter what I do, I can do whatever I want. I can just keep myself in this darkness and temptation. I'll just pray after. I don't need anybody to keep me accountable. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do or what not to do. You know, God is love and God's merciful. He's not going to punish. God loves me. He's okay with who I am. He accepts me as who I am, and I don't need to change. I don't need to undergo any growth. I can just stay where I am. God loves me as I am. I mean, I can follow God and pursue all kinds of other things. They can mutually exist together. I can follow God and I can chase after money. I can follow God and chase after my career. You know, career is a big thing. You know, I can do that and follow God at the same time. Or maybe I don't need to resolve this relationship. I don't need to handle this relationship. We'll just let it be. Yeah, I'm angry at him. I don't like him. I curse him, but you know. God won't mind our relationship. God, you don't understand how hard it is to forgive this person. You don't understand how hard it is to deal with this relationship. Just don't mind me. I don't mind me. You don't understand. It's okay that I let this be. Or maybe you say things like this. You say like, you know, faith is highly subjective. People can believe whatever they want and follow God however they want. God wants me to be happy, so I can do whatever that makes me happy, and God's happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy. You know, I only need to attend service. I only need to attend service, attend all costs, and I serve. You know, those are the three things, and I'm good. I'm good. That's good enough for me. I get a 70%, I get an 80%. That's good enough. That's a pass in my book. You know, I'm not those 100% Christians. I'm not good Christians. I don't need to do all these kinds of things. Bible is boring. I don't need Bible to connect with God. I don't need to spend time with God to believe in him. Those are the 100% Christians. That's what they do. I'm a 70%. I can live with 70. I pass. And church, God is confronting those beliefs as he did through Jeremiah. He says, don't be deceived, people. Don't be deceived. Don't trust in these deceptive words. The people of Judah, what they do is they walk in their own counsels and they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. They come up with their own counsel, with their own knowledge and brain of how they should follow God, and they just follow their heart. They says, my heart does what it wants, and I'm going to follow my heart, follow your heart. Don't do that. That's not what I say. I say what I say about this faith. God says what he says about this faith, and you follow me according to what I say. And so, church, don't fall into this deception. This is what Satan is doing to us. This is what the evil one is doing to us. He's trying to deceive us in our faith because let's be honest. Satan can't get you to denounce your faith. You're not going to say, I'm not a Christian. That's very unlikely that he can do that. But what he can do is he can keep you believing in God, but follow him in a false way, in a fake way. And if he does that, he succeeded. He knows you believe in God, and it's highly unlikely that he can get you to denounce your faith. But if he can get you to not practice what God says, to not walk in his ways, to not follow in his ways, then he has succeeded. He has succeeded, and he's going to bring you down with him. And that's the deception. That's the deception. And you say, oh, that's not going to happen to me. I don't have those deceptions. But please don't think that this won't happen to you. Please don't think that. Because the nature of the deception is that the one that's getting deceived, the one that's deceived never sees that he's getting deceived. The person that's deceived never knows that he's deceived, and that's the nature of deception. So please, please stay on your guard against these deceptions. Church, whenever you want to make a justification for your way of following God, or make a statement of who you believe God to be, can you please fact check it? Check it on the Bible. Check with what God says. Don't create a false religion out of a true God. Don't get deceived. Can you equip yourself with the Word of God, with the sword of the Spirit, so that you can guard yourself against these deceptions and against the attack of the devil? Guard yourself against these deceptions. Fact check what you believe about God and what you think, how you think you should follow God. And equip yourself with the Word of God. And maybe for some of us today, we have to let God tear down some of these beliefs. Maybe as I was, naming that list, that example, he says, hey, maybe that's something that I think about too. Maybe that's something that unconsciously I put into my mind. Do you have any of these false beliefs? Or do you have a tendency to make up something and justify your way of following God out of your own desires? Maybe God today, he's speaking to you and he wants to tear down those false beliefs and those teachings. So will you let his truth take place in your life? Let his truth take place in your life. Because church, God wants to rebuild your life. God doesn't want to just tear down for the sake of tearing down. God wants to rework your life and your beliefs so he can be your God. So he can be your God and you can follow him and experience him truly. Because remember when he called Jeremiah in chapter 1, last week we talked about this passage. Jeremiah was called to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. God wants to remove your false religions, false beliefs about him, and to build you up and plant you to be his disciple, his follower, and have you experience him the true way. And so, will you let him do that today? Will you allow him to rebuild you? Will you guard yourself against these deceptions and false religions under the name of God? And will you follow God in a way that you can truly experience him for now and forever? Let's pray together. In our time of prayer today, I'm going to first give you a brief moment to to evaluate and to look inside yourself and see whether you think or you know that you have some false beliefs inside of you. I'm going to give you a brief moment to do that. Reflect it in your mind and in your heart. Is there some false belief, or you think there are some false beliefs inside of you? God, we come before you in prayer. And God, we first confess that we have created for ourselves a false religion under you at times. We have followed our own counsel and our heart, and we created this false belief in religion that's put under your name. And God, I have done that. We have done that. And God, we confess that before you. Would you have mercy and forgive our ways and our stubbornness, because we don't know what we've done. And God, would you tear down, would your Holy Spirit come into our hearts and tear down these false beliefs? Even if we don't know that it's there, God, would your Holy Spirit go into our hearts and start working away at these things? And God, would you put inside of us a heart that yearns for your truth, yearns for what you say about you? And God, would you strengthen us? Would you guard us? Would you help us to guard against these deceptions, these attacks of the devil, so that we can believe in you truly, we can know you truly, and we can experience you truly? And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we will continue our worship right now with communion. So at this time, I'm going to invite you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and also prepare your communion elements if you haven't done so already. Communion is a time of celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's also a time of reminder, of reminding ourselves of who Jesus is and reminding ourselves of what he taught us about following him. He said that we are to love God with all our soul and our mind and our strength and our mind and our hearts. And he said that we are also to love one another as Jesus has loved us, as demonstrated by the communion. So it is a reminder, but more than just a reminder, it's a recommitment, if you will. Recommitment, realignment, it's our way of responding to Jesus, saying to him, God, this is what you taught us about you, and this is how we're going to follow you. This is our commitment to you. This is, maybe for some of us, it's a recommitment to God. And so the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and you ought to do this in remembrance of me. So you may now partake in communion at your home, and I invite you to do so with a heart of committing to God, with a heart of maybe recommitting to God, realignment. Your response to God saying, God, this is who you say you are, and I'm going to follow you. You may now do so at your home. Thank you. Once again, I want to welcome those of you that are joining us for the first time. If this is your first time here joining us for worship, you're definitely welcome here. I'm going to invite you to fill in that online connect card that we have prepared just for you so that you can get to know us a bit more, you can connect with us. We would love to get to know you. And if you have any prayer requests, any questions, we'd love to answer that, you know, and through the phone and through the video call to get to know you a bit. So fill in, don't be hesitant, fill in that connect card at the end screen and we'll connect with you there. One quick reminder that I want to give to you. Last week, we shared with you about our Reaching Out campaign, which is our generosity campaign, and we're going to be doing something in the Christmas season. What we're going to do is we're going to be supporting the Richmond Christmas Fund during this year. What the Richmond Christmas Fund does is they collect toy donations from the community and they distribute them to those in need as a Christmas present, Christmas gift, to especially the children in need. So I'm going to invite you really to participate in this generosity campaign. Participate. How you can do that is when you go to malls or grocery shopping or, you know, shopping malls and stuff like that, grab for these children a toy gift, a new toy, as donation. And what you can do after you grab that present, you can just drop them off at KMC, and then what we're gonna do is we're going to send them all on your behalf, on the church's behalf, we're gonna send them to the Richmond Christmas Fund. And for more information, you can find all that at our website. You can find that at also english.mykc.ca/generosity. And also we have some information for you on one of our end screen pages. Church, let me now bless you and send you with the word of God. Today's passage is going to be from Ephesians chapter 6. Church, may you be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. But church, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Church, we'll see you next week.